It's one thing for two parents to tell a child, I love you. But if they don't love one another, well, it's meaningless. There's no security in the home for the child. And it turns out, it's exactly the same with God. Bernie Diamond, and it's great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take another look at love from a different perspective. And do stick with me, because at the end of today's message I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet, The Power of Love. I'd love to send you a copy to help you experience the transformational power of God's love in your life. They say that God is a God of love. In fact, that God is love. Love is one of the most common words in the Bible. It appears over 500 times. But then, well, what did God do before he made us? If God is a God of love, and he was on his own before he created us, didn't he get lonely? I mean, you or I would. An eternal, vast nothingness. And at some point in all of that, he creates humanity, people, you and me, in his image. People whom he can love. People with a capacity to love him in return. But if we have the capacity, in fact, the inbuilt desire to love and to be loved, then surely it had to come from him. And if he, God, has the same capacity, then it would have been tough for him before he made us. Now that's reasonable human logic. Love, by definition, involves more than one person. There need to be at least two in order for there to be love. I mean, for love to exist in a practical, real way. It makes sense to you? And that is what the Trinity is all about. My eyes used to glaze over on this one, but the more I understand the nature of God, the more awesome he is in my sight. You probably heard Christians talking about the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. Three persons in one, each one God, together God. Now, I don't think we'll ever fully understand that in this life. It's something that God is going to explain to us in full when we're with him in heaven. But when you think about it, unless it was so, God couldn't have been love before he created us, because he had no one to love. And since God never changes, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he had to be love before he created us. Now, there's nothing specific in the Bible about the Trinity. It's something that we can see and deduce. But there's no single clear statement. It becomes obvious, though, when you read the whole thing. It's interesting. Moses wrote the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, and the book starts out, "In the beginning, God," and the Hebrew word for God is Elohim, which is God's plural. And then again in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, Moses writes, "Let us make man in our image." Again, there's a plural sense of God. Now, Moses had no way of knowing about Jesus the Son. Jesus hadn't been revealed and wouldn't be for quite a long time. And yet, even at the beginning, he was able to write about God in Trinitarian terms, using the plural. Now, the Hebrews didn't believe in multiple gods like other nations around them. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So he doesn't talk about a plural God, he talks about God as being one. Now, one of the things that many of the other nations around Israel believed in at the time, and you still find it in some religions today, is that the different gods would have battles and arguments, and then in fact there was politics and war between the gods. Now when you think about that for a minute, if you believe in a bunch of gods where there were winners and losers, how exactly does that help you? Because you have to back a winner. What if I back a loser? It's a bit like a child who lives in a family where the parents are always fighting. It robs the child of its security, because we have a deep need for love. And when we're in a family environment of love, that provides us with real security where we can grow. So here's the question. What's the evidence that there is love, this oneness between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Because there must be great love between those three in order for the Bible to say that God is love. It's interesting. The New Testament, that part that begins with the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, into this world, the very first use of the word love tells us exactly that. It's at Jesus' baptism. The Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Or other translations say, "This is my beloved Son." Now, three words for love in the New Testament. One is eros, which is the love between a man and a woman. It's the Greek word from where we get erotic, that term. The other one is philo, which is a friendship kind of love. And the last one is agape, which is an unconditional love. And the word used here derives from the last of those three. It's the bond of unconditional love between Father and Son. Jesus says it again. You can read it in John chapter 3, verses 35 and 36. "The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." The Father loves the Son unconditionally. Now, why is this stuff important? Why are we talking about this today? My hunch is that it's easy to lose sight of the nature of God. And love is a place of complete security. Let me ask you, if a mother and a father each individually love their child, and yet they fight like cat and dog between themselves, what does that tell the child about love? It's going to breed insecurity, it's going to breed fear, and yet if the love between mother and father, wife and husband, is strong, that brings such safety into the home for the child, doesn't it? John the Apostle writes in his first letter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears isn't made perfect in love." There's lots of things and people and situations in this world that go to scream at us that no one loves us. And there have been times when love has disappointed us. There have been times when we've felt completely alone. At those times, the thing that we need to know is that God is love. And it's not just a love that he gives to you and me and his children, but it's a love that exists for all eternity between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is such a security in that. There is such a safety in that. We can go to God and know that his love is perfect. See, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have never had an argument. They've never had a tiff or a disagreement, because their love, the love of the three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for one another, is unconditional. Jesus talks a lot about this sort of oneness, the unity of the Trinity. And his final prayer before he's crucified, have a listen to what he prays. John chapter 17, verse 20. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." Oneness in perfect love. And that is exactly the relationship that Jesus is inviting you and me to be part of. Doesn't matter what the world throws at us, there is no fear in love. God's perfect love drives out all fear. We all have things in us that aren't what they should be. Perhaps that's why the self-help and motivation industries are worth multiple billions of dollars the world over. But none of those things even begin to compare to the power of God's love in transforming our lives for the better. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called The Power of Love, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you experience the transformational power of God's love in your life. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.